You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Biblical provision of Basa B'Chalav, as we call it. There's tremendous halacha l'masa that relates to this specific topic alone, tremendous minhagim that have developed over the centuries. And tonight's shir will at least be the beginning. I assume it's going to be more than just one shir because there's so much to have to cover and so much literature that, you know, I have three separate Parma Kamas in front of you. There's no way the time that we have available, I can do all three tonight. But we're going to get into the topic very quickly. If you take this Maramakam, which is the longest one you have in front of you, okay, we're going to start with this one. What you have is the Gemara and Masechtas Chulin, which has a brisa of Rabbi Shmuel underlined, which is basically 1a. Rabbi Shmuel Tano Lo Savash Gediva Chalev Amal Gimel Panim. Ironically, this specific Isa Bas V'Chalev is mentioned three times in the Torah. It says Lo Savash Gediva Chalev Amal. You shouldn't cook a kid. In this case, it means the goat and its mother's milk. And Chazal say this three times in the Torah. What's the reason? So Torah Shlopa tells us to tell us the Bas V'Chalev has three different Isur Deraisa. There's an Isa of Achil of eating Basva Chalav. There's the Isa Hanah. There's the Isa of having any Hanah benefit from Basva Chalav. You can't feed Basva Chalav to your animals or give it as a matana to a guy as such. And one is the Echabishal, just cooking Basva Chalav alone. Even if I don't come to eat it or have Hanah from it, is halach lamas halachly prohibited. So you can't get a job, Rabbi Say, in any type of store. That there's a veishah store that sells meat and milk when it comes to these like burgers, kings, and things like that. You might say, ich esnish, but you can't cook this stuff. So even if you never come to eat it, the fact of the matter is, that the fact you're cooking it, that's why when it comes to culinary school, a lot of from chevron want to go to veishah college have a problem. Because they basically have, you know, when they start teaching how to cook, there's meat, there's milk, so the fact you're not eating it doesn't make a difference. There's the ease of the rice to cook it, even if you never come to eat, you know, whatever it is. So therefore, the post can bring it up, be very careful. Yeah.
I remember when I was growing up.
Yeah. Yeah.
There were
the kings. Yeah.
And McDonald's.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a big shame because there's the Issa Hanah. So even if you don't make the fire, if you're benefiting for the income, it's Issa Hanah. All right, now, what I want to, however, mention, this is very important. No, Keller's law only applies to Nevela. Nevela, not Pasul Chalav. Now, what I want to mention, however, is the obvious question which all the Rishonim ask, is that if Pasul Chalav is us, and not only in cooking, but it's us in eating, and us in Bahanah, why does it mention all three prohibitions biblically with the word bishul? It should have said lo savasho, then lo sochal, or lo sehena. Why do you have all three of these prohibitions phrased with the word bishul? So the answer is very simply, because the only isa basachalav that exists in the Torah, and this is very important, is only if the meat and milk were connected through cooking. The deraisa of bisha b'chalav, whether it's the iser of cooking it, the iser of eating it, or hana, is only basa b'chalav that's created through a maisa shel bisha. And if it's not created through maisa shel bisha, just, you know, having a nice glatt kosher salami sandwich with a tremendous chalav yisrael malted, and I eat them together, I'm not violating the deraisa of basa b'chalav b'chalav because they weren't cooked together. I'm violating the rabbanan. I'm not violating a deraisa. It's very important to remember that. Now, what's over here, what's quite fascinating, is what I have right underneath this. I have the lashon in quotation 1b of the Torah Shulchan Aruch, where it says, why did the Torah say, even achila b'lashon bisho? Why did they mention everything b'lashon bisho? Lomar, ein asim in the Torah el derech bisho, as I just mentioned to you. But now we come to a big question. What does bishul mean? What does cooking mean? So over here, if you notice, I have in quotation 1c, the lashon of the Rambam, ein bishul gomor ella kol shehaor mahalech tachtov. I have that fire underneath cooking it. That's considered bishul, and halach lamasa, it is prohibited that way. Now, what am I coming to exclude and include? See, if you look in quotation D, Chazal, even though they had a debate about it, finally came to the conclusion that roasting and tikkun, which is frying, comes under bishul deraisa, and therefore roasting or frying bas b'chalav together would violate the isa of bas b'chalav on the deraisa level. What am I coming to exclude? Mu'ushan, which means smoking them together. Malich, karaseach, salting something with so much salt, that salting on that level is looked upon as if you're cooking them. Kavish gemavushal, pickling for 24 hours. Also, many areas of halach is called kavish gemavushal. In all these cases, they could not create bas v'chalav d'araisa because there's no ma'or ha-mahalach tachto. And I'm going to get to an afkimina where the bas v'chalav is the raisa of the rabbanon, but for d'araisa, it has to be created by fire, and therefore tzliya tigun are equal to bishul. The other categories in different areas of halacha might be looked upon bishul, but not when it comes to bas v'chalav on a deraisa level. Also, another major yisod, which we have, which we're going to be touching soon in the Gemara in Masechtas Chulin, and that is chaticha nasach aveila, which means that if you have a piece of meat that has absorbed in it milk, and there's no 60 parts of meat connected to the volume of milk that came into it, the combination of the milk and meat undergoes such a metamorphosis that the entire piece of meat now is looked upon as if the whole thing is a nevela from one side to the other side. Chaticha nasa nevela applies to bas v'chalav, and mine applies to other yisurim.
Have they been cooked together?
If you basically had a pot of meat cooking. Okay, and milk fell in.
And there's no
batel v'shishim. All the pieces of meat that, ultimately speaking, have the flavor of milk penetrating and there's not shishim connect them, every one of those pieces becomes as if it was a nevela from a nishka shachman animal, which means it's an isa deraisa of what's called chaticha nasa nevela. By bas v'chalav hakol moedim, we paskin that way. In other areas of halacha, there's a debate whether it's a deraisa derabban. But when it comes to bas v'chalav, chaticha nasa nevela, if that one of the pieces of this meat then fall into another area, you would have to have shishim connect to mevatla. You can't say, I'm just going to mevatla the time of milk that's absorbed in it. The cheshbon is the whole piece of meat is looked upon as a chaticha shel isa.
What if the meat is cold, not cooked, like standing cold?
Now that cold is not a deraisa, it's a derabana.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to get to that shortly. Now if you look, hold up the questions, because we'll get to very shortly all the questions you want. I want to get to a certain point. Look at quotation F on the bottom of the page. He says, now I have a quote of the Ran, which will explain a lot of the stuff we're going to be discussing tonight. Why is it, when it comes to bas v'chalav, as soon going to see, we have more chumris when it comes to this combination than any of the isa machalos asurs contained v'chalav tadukula? So the Ran in Masechtas Chulin gives the following hezber. The Ran Rabbeinu Nissim gives the following hezber. What does he say? Mishum de bas v'chalav kol echad b'ne'atzam mutar, because in our Jewish homes, we have kosher meat, and we have basically kosher milk. And on a Torah level, the Rabbanan level, kosher meat is meat, and kosher milk is milk, and each one is mutar lagamri on all levels. However, because of that, lo bedila in shemini, people therefore don't stay away from kosher meat, don't stay away from milk, because both are 100% mutar. Shalo kishar isurim. This is unlike other types of machalos isuros. She isurim machmas atzman, which are usher in the own right. For instance, Rabbi said all the shelos of nevelos, which means animals that halacha mas are not shechted properly, or animals that have congenital defects, which are called trefos, or non-kosher animals, period. Swine, pigs, all the non-kosher species of animals that don't have the ability to chew its cud or have split hooves, all of them, they're isma machmas atzman, and therefore normally Jews who are observant of halacha stay away from them. But the problem is that bas v'chalav, people are very close to them. Bas v'chneatza muta v'chen chalav. Rak b'taru v'shneim no le'isa chadash. Only when you combine milk and meat, glat kosher meat, and chalav yisrael milk, when you put them together, all of a sudden the isa bas v'chalav is created. Chadash. V'hachatich es nasa nevela. Mash'en kein b'shar yisurin shebetara. So over here, you're going to see chumris tonight. We're going to discuss which you do not find in any other category of machalas asuras except for basar b'chalav. You're going to find chametz tonight.
Chametz,
also is the first step because lamedilim in it.
Right.
The first pasuk in Masechta Zakhim
says. Used to eat it all year
round. No, but you don't have. But afa pikein. You don't have the same level of basar b'chalav. You're going to find things you don't find even about chametz. You'll see very shortly. Let us continue now. Now, what I want to do, Rabbi Yisrael, because as I said, I have a certain itinerary tonight, and I see this is going to take a while for us to go through all the makaras, is what I want to do in the makara sheet. Let me pick that up. I want to give me another copy of the long ones. Thank you. Okay. What I want to now, Rabbi Isai, is mention certain information before we get to the next part of the sheet. The next part of the sheet we're going to be analyzing, Rabbi Isai, is going to be contained on page number 4. So you'll turn to page number 4. And before we get to page 4, I want to just fill in some pieces of information you should be aware of. Now, the first thing I want to mention to you is that basar b'chalav, which is asa b'hana'ah, it's very similar to chametz b'pesach, arlon klei keren, where you have to literally eradicate them. You have to beserif them, you have to cover them, you have to bury them, get rid of them. They should not be around. That's how far we go when it comes to the isa hana'ah of basar b'chalav, and chametz b'pesach, and arlon and klei keren. So it's in a unique category of things that are asa b'hana'ah. Therefore, it really requires sreifa. Chazal compare it also to the din of egla arufa, shahaniskal, and sarnoza, which also requires sreifa when it comes to their eradication because of their isahana. That's number one. Number two, I want to mention something that's very, very important, and that is the following. I pointed out before that halacha lamasa we treat tzliya roasting and tigun, which is frying, as if you're cooking in a pot. But I want you to know that halacha lamasa, this was not unanimously accepted by everybody. And there's a machlokis poskim, which you'll see if anybody has factories which have food coming in and going out of it, you'll see an important afkami in halacha lamasa. The Pri Chadash, one of the great Gedolei Achronim, held that as far as he's concerned, roasting and frying has the same din as bishul, and the result in basar b'chalav is asa min ha-Torah, therefore asa b'bishul, asa b'achila, asa b'hanah on a deraisa level. The Minchas Yaakov, which is another group of Gedolei HaPoskim, held that tzliya v'tigun, roasting and frying, are not like bishul, and therefore they make only basar b'chalav on a derabbanan level, not on a deraisa level. So you have a machlokas poskim. And even though there's no question, most poskim held like the Pri Chodesh, that tzliya v'tigun is a deraisa, there was a Minchas Yaakov who held that it's only us midrabbanan. Now what's the nafkimina? So the Pri Megadim makes the following statement. He says that normally speaking, we follow the Pri Chodesh, and we hold that tzliya v'tigun is a deraisa like bishul, asa b'achila, asa b'hana on a deraisa level. However, what happens if you own a factory with food, and let's say erroneously, but never it happened, you got a shipment of food in your specific warehouse, that it ends up that this was milk and meat that was roasted and fried together, not cooked together. And now the question is, the halacha masa, you can't sell it to anybody else, if it's the deraisa, why? Because of the problem of the isa hana'ah. So says the Pri Megadim, that since it's a machlokes whether tzliya v'tigun is a deraisa derabbanan, the nafkamina if it's a deraisa it's asa b'hana, if it's basar b'chalav asa midrabbanan it is mutter b'hana. You hear what I just said to you? So if that's the case, b'makom hesed meruba, I can rely upon the Minchas Yaakov to sell the fried or the roast of basar b'chalav to a goyish concern, because it's not asa b'hana if it's derabbanan. So I have an ability with flexibility over there because of this machlokas poskim. If everybody were held, tzliya v'tigun is like bishul, I would have been a gehakta tzaris. It would have been a loss from all levels. I couldn't even give it to dogs to eat. I couldn't even give it to a guy pechinim to give. I was having hanochim. Very important to know that. Also, the sheer bus of a chalav rabbi is the gazayis, like all things, but the gazayis can be made up of the milk and the meat together. It doesn't have to be milk that is absorbed into a gazayis of meat. If the sheer, the volume is an aggregate of both, that's the din of bus of a chalav. It's another chiddush. And another chiddush is what's the zman of bishol. So we know that normally a food has a normal time it cooks, but there's a shear called machal ben derusai, which is shlish bishulo. According to the poskim, if you had milk and meat that were cooked together for shlish bishulo, that's enough to make pasuk v'chal v'isa deraisa to be chav on a deraisa level. Okay, so these are points I wanted to throw in, Rabbi Isai, just to make it a little more interesting. Now we come to the next question, and this is very, very important. This is a very important yisod. And that is, a gedi b'chelav ima means a goat in its mother's milk. A goat is one of the three behemos that the Torah mentions. The three behemos the Torah mentions that are used for kribanos are goats, sheep, and oxen and cows. Those are the called behemos, the domesticated animals. All the other animals that we might eat, Rabbi Isai, when it comes to meat, like venison and things like this, those are called chayos. And then you have a category we call oifos, fowls. There is a machlokes tanoim. When Hashem said, was the vashu gedi b'chalev imo, what of the meats that we call meat are under the biblical prohibition? We paskin like shitus Rabbi Kiva, which we haven't even got to in Gemara Simchun yet, we're going to get to it very shortly, well, that basa b'chalev is exactly like the example mentioned in the Torah three times, Lo savash gedi b'chalev imo, goat in its mother's milk. Now the goat is a behema. The mother's milk comes from a woman, the milk of a behema. So what is the bas b'chalev? An animal that's a behema cooked in milk of a behema. It doesn't have to be its mother's milk. So if I cook, for instance, cow's meat in sheep milk or in goat milk or goats, Rabbi Isai, in cow's milk, it doesn't make a difference how you mix and match. But the deraisa is only Rabbi Isai, basa behema in chalav shel behema, that is basa chalav deraisa shitas Rabbi Kiva. There were other tanaim who held differently, who held and expands to the other cases of chayiv of as well, but that's not the way we paskin. Therefore, the ultimate result is that basa b'chalav deraisa, that's basa b'bisha, achila b'hana, is only basa behema that is cooked in chalav behema. If I have one of those two parts replaced, whether it's the milk part or the meat part, by chayos or ofos, which means I use oaf meat or chaya meat with cow's milk, or vice versa, in that case, it's only bas b'chalav mitir rabbanan, therefore asa ba'achila umut b'hana. There's a shelu al halach lamasa on a derabban level, that was asked of me to cook bas b'chol of derabbanan because of ma'arasai, especially when it comes to chaya meat, which looks very much like behema meat. So that is not so distinguishable. Eifus meat is much different in texture than behemas. Some say there's no isa derabbanan for that, but on chaya meat, we are very machmit to treat it like a behema because of the ma'arasai and the mistake people might have. If they see you cooking chaya meat, not realizing it's chaya rather than behema meat, we don't want people to be nichshol. But one thing is for sure, the bas b'chalav derais is only behemos, meat, one of those three behemos, with milk of one of those three behemos. That's the deraisa. Everything else is the rabbanan. Keep that in mind.
Also, milk of chaya would make
what?
It. Milk of a chaya will make it only the rabbanan.
Yes, yes. In other words, that's another very important klal. Very important klal, which we're going to see very shortly as we go further into the sugya. Now, with all that in mind, Rabbi Isai, we're now coming to the most, I would say tonight, the most important part of tonight's shir, at least. And that is the Gemara in Chulin on Daf Kufei, which we dealt with a couple of days ago in the Daf Yomi. So still should be fresh in people's minds. The Daf Yomi is page number 4.
Some page.
You're on the page. You're on the page. Okay. And we're going to now go through the Gemara again. The part we're going to be seeing, Rabbi Isai, is the bottom part of this Gemara over here in Masechta Shulim. Let me read it for you, and we're going to get right into this sugya very deeply. You're going to find this fascinating and interesting as we get into it. Now, the Gemara in Chulin wants to know the following question. Listen very carefully, Rabbi Zayn. Basa b'chalav, basa b'chalav is asa d'iraisa if you cook them together. No question about it. If the taruv, this is not through cooking, if you're just physically eating them together, as I mentioned before, you bought a nice kishmakla galat kosher sandwich of meat, and they got a nice, delicious, delectable chalav Yisrael malted and eat them together, there is no d'iraisa being violated when you eat them together. Now, despite that fact, Chazal put chumras on the derabbanan level, which you don't find in other places, that even though eating them separately and eating them together, there's no problem of d'iraisa, but Chazal on a derabbanan level asserted eating milk and meat together, even if they were not cooked together, and there was no heat medium connecting them, there is an Issa Darabanan to consume him Babas Achas. Now, the Gemara on quotation 4a on the bottom of the page, Boinei Ravas Me Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, who was the leading gadol of the Amoraim in Eretz Israel, the Mechaba of the Talmud Yerushalmi, said, he asked him, Kama Yisha Bein Basa LeGavina. How much time do I have to wait between eating cheese and then going to flesh? At the end of the day, I'm eating the cheese or the milk separately, the flesh separately. What is the zman of distance going from one to the other? So he said to him, lo klum, there's no time whatsoever. The Gemara asked the question, Amar Rav Chisda, ochel bas asa lechel gavina. We have a principle, Rav Chisda says, if you eat meat, you can eat cheese immediately afterwards, the milchus afterwards. If I ate, however, cheese first, milchus first, mutalechal bas, I can eat meat afterwards immediately. So if that's the case that you thought I asked you, how much time it is between eating meat and flesh, and meat first and milchus afterwards, and he said, look, gloom, that's an impossibility. So therefore, the question I'm asking, I'm now going to rephrase it. And what am I going to phrase? Kama yisha ben gavina labasa. I eat milchix, cheese first, and I want to eat meat afterwards. According to the Talmud Bavli text, Rav Yochanan answered l'klum, very important, on a even derabbanan level, forget about deraisa, because we're not dealing with deraisas over here, even on the derabbanan level, I could theoretically immediately eat meat after milk without a problem. Why people wait today, the half an hour or the hour that we'll discuss later on is based upon Zohar and Kabbalah, but based upon the Talmud Bavli, Rabbi Yisai, there is no Zman Hamtan. We'll see very shortly. Now, Gufa, when the Gemara has a Gufa, it means it goes deeper into the topic, it means it goes into the Guf, the essence of the topic. Listen to what the Gemara says in the narrative. So, Amar Rav Chisda, Ochel Bas Asa Lechel Gavina, that if a person, we're basically speaking, ate meat first, you can eat cheese afterwards, and it seems to be us immediately. Gavina, but if you ate cheese first, mutalecha basa, I can have meat after it immediately. Amalei Rav Acha bar Yosef Rav Chisda, basa shebein shinai mahu. What's the halachic status of meat that's stuck between my teeth, where I have quite obviously various types of Slavic fluid and enzymes on my mouth involved in the destruction of the meat, my digestion of the meat, even if it's caught between my teeth, does that still have the halachic identity of meat? So he called, quotes a pasuk, by those who rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Midbar, claimed they didn't have what to eat, they wanted meat. So Hashem sent them meat, but what happened? Habas odena ben shenayim, that when, before they had a chance even to digest the meat between their teeth that were chewing, they died as a divine punishment for asking meat shalom properly. But the pasuk says the meat is between the teeth. It means meat between the teeth is considered meat. Now, so at this point in time, Rabbi Yisai, well, one thing we know, that for whatever reason, you can have fellatio after milchix immediately, but you can have milchix after fellatio immediately. What that means, we're going to come to tangible resources, but the Gemara doesn't tell us about a time frame. The only thing the Gemara tells them when it comes to time frame is the following story, which is wild. The Gemara says, Orma Ma'ukva, who was one of the great Amorayim, he says, Anola Hamilsa Chala Bachamra. When it comes to the following area of halacha, I'm like vinegar compared to wine when it comes to the frumkeit of my father. My father's like wine, I'm vinegar, I'm on a lower stature. Why am I on a lower stature? The ilu abba havi ocha bisra idno lo havi ocha gvina ad lamach ad ki hashto. Ilano basuto lo achla basuto achvita achlina. What's the difference? My father, if he has meat today, he looks at whatever clock he had, maybe a sundial, and he saw what time he ate meat today. He did not eat milks until 24 hours later on. That's how frum Ma'ukva's father was. Ich bin es also frum wie der Tata. And therefore, I basically don't eat them in the same meal, but I eat them in a different meal. That's what Ma'ukva said. Once again, the only time we have mentioned explicit in the Gemara is the time frame of Ma'ukva's father who waited 24 hours between Fleishix and Milchix. Every other Zman in the Gemara, even Ben Suda La Suda, a time quantity is not mentioned in the Gemara explicitly.
But
now, what?
Only 2 meals a day.
But the Gemara doesn't mention that.
Right.
So what I'm saying is the Gemara only mentions what the Chumar is untapped with. I want to show what the Gemara mentions, what it doesn't mention, and where the Rishonim come in. Now, I also want to mention another thing, and that is the Iser of eating meat first and milchus afterwards immediately. What is that predicated upon? Why is it that the Gemara said I have meat first, I can't have dairy afterwards immediately? See, if we look in Rashi on the side of the Gemara, we have quotation C. So he says, what's the reason? Also lechol gavina. Mushum debasa motzi shuman. Meats by their very nature have tremendous fatty substances contained inside, and it takes a long time to digest. Nidvak bepeh, umayach betama. There's tremendous aftertaste even during the process of digestion. The flavor itself continues, and therefore, since you have the flavor of meat in your mouth, even though the meat is no longer there, that prevents you from consuming the milchix immediately. You have to wait a certain time frame. But once again, Rashi never mentions how much time you have to wait. He just says the lack of immediacy is because of the bus's flavor. When you're digesting, has an aftertaste, takes a long time to digest. For that reason, you have to wait. Means that in the opposite direction, if you eat milchix first and then you have flesh afterwards, the milchix digests very quickly. So I don't have to wait a long time between milchix and fleshix. But for Fleishis and Milchus, I have to. That is the Shita of Shitas Rashi. Now, why am I saying this? Because the Rambam I'm going to show you very shortly says, the reason of waiting between Fleishis and Milchus, says the Rambam, I'm going to show you inside the Makaras, is because of the meat that's contained between your teeth. Because of the bus of Bein Shinein, when you're chewing meat, Rabbi Zai, pieces of meat get stuck between your dentures. So therefore, and it's not easy to remove them. So therefore, you have to wait until the various types of juices of enzymes in your mouth and saliva basically eats away at them. And a certain period of time, which we'll see what it is, it makes the meat between your teeth that was meat when it was there, because the pasuk says it's meat, become ice meat after a certain time frame being between your teeth after you consumed it. How much time, once again, but Raman will tell us what his opinion is. But one thing is for sure, even after going what I mentioned you in the Gemara over here, I want you to see what you can see, what you can't see. One thing is for sure from this Gemara, the only thing I know is the chumra of Ma'ukva's Tata waiting 24 hours between Fleishix and Milchix. There's no other Zman mentioned explicitly in the Gemara when it comes to time frame explicitly mentioned. That's why you're going to see very shortly there are about four different Shitas amongst the Rishonim, how much time you have to wait between Fleishix and Milchix, and you'll see what it's predicated upon. But I want you to be aware of the fact, it's because of the chesaron of the Yediyah of the Gemara that we came to such a machlokas that I'm going to mention over here now. Listen very carefully. If you look on the Tosfos, which is quotation 4b, this is now going to bring us into the topic of what is the Zman Hamtana between the concept of Fleishix and Milchix. So the Taisa says over here, where it says Lesuda Achrita Achilna, Ma'ukva says I don't wait 24 hours, but I have a Fleishik Lesuda first. I then have a separate Milch Lesuda afterwards, but I don't wait 24 hours between them. So says over here the Taisa, what does it mean? He waits from Suda to Suda. La besudasa shirgila lasos acha shacharis achas arvis. Now we're coming to time frames. Taisis points out, in the time of the Talmudic period, there were basically two meals a day. One meal was approximately 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock in the morning, a late breakfast. And the second meal was about 6 o'clock in the evening, which I would call basically an early supper. There were two meals a day. The zman between the morning meal and the evening meal was approximately six hours. So Taisa says, I want you to know something.
The lecture continues with part two. You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.